So as we just heard, this week the council voted to allow me to become your next pastoral leader. I was so happy and distracted when thinking about what the future holds. Starting the sermon for today was more difficult than usual. And the ironic, or maybe spirit-inspired reality, is that this lesson speaks a little bit about this. The message in Ephesians reminds us to pay really close attention to how we live. I know that the text in the NRSV actually reads, "Be careful then how you live," but scholar Richard Carlson suggests that a better translation of the Greek is, pay close attention to how you live. And doesn't that little change of wording make a huge difference in how those words feel when you hear them? At least it did to me. Rather than fearing that I might not be careful enough and will make some kind of fatal error, I am freed to observe and make adjustments without fear. Throughout the letter to the Ephesians, we are given an idea about what it means to live as a community in Christ, as people who believe that Jesus was God made human through Mary and sacrificed all for our sake. In today's clip from Ephesians, we are given a few little pieces of advice to think about. First, use our time wisely. This is one that really struck home. How many of us use our time unwisely? And I don't mean just wasting time doing inconsequential things, but instead doing things that take time away from living in relationship with family, friends, living in relationship with God. In the last week, I visited my family, and in the cases of my two brothers, I hadn't seen them in more than a decade. I realized that as much as I enjoy most of what I do at Marist, I let that job take over much more of my time and attention than any job should. I also saw that focusing so much on my job was actually about both avoiding sometimes difficult relationships and conversations, as well as paying the bills. There is also a current cultural phenomenon that lifts up being so busy that you barely have time to eat or sleep. Keeping up with the Joneses used to mean having a big house, a multi-car garage, and a fancy vacation. Now it means being able to tell others about how you have no time to yourself because you work so many hours. And it is so easy to get caught up in those ideas. I certainly have. Clearly, many of us have jobs and we need to work. And we have volunteer positions and responsibilities that are important to honor. Using time wisely isn't about stopping those things and becoming cloistered nuns or priests, but about putting everything in proper perspective. And what is truly important are relationships with each other, our communities, our relationship with God. So the next little piece of advice that this reading gives us is to not get drunk with wine. Now, this isn't about the evils of alcohol, but it's another teaching about priorities. There's nothing wrong with wine or any alcoholic drink, but in its excess, we can easily lose sight of the things that are important. I have known too many people who drink to excess a lot. And I have also seen it is typically because they are trying to lessen some kind of emotional pain. And the harsh reality is that the pain may go away for a while, but dealing with it in that manner won't permanently heal it. And in the process of spending a lot of time drunk on wine or whatever, time is being taken away from lasting healing and living in community. And finally, in this little piece from Ephesians, we are reminded that we should sing to the glory of God. I believe that deep inside, we understand the way that music connects us, and this is why we have so much music in our liturgy. Of course, the virus has put a damper on how much we can do safely, but when we sing together, even if it is just a couple of hymns wearing masks, we are united with one another and with all who have sung these hymns and psalms through the ages before us, and also those who will continue to sing them after we are gone. I have heard people say, "Oh, you don't want to hear me singing." And you know what God's answer to that is? Does anybody know? Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise. In singing, we are lifting praise and thanksgiving, sometimes pain and sorrow. Even more so, this action connects the entire community with each other and with God. It is like what we sing in verse 2 of the hymn, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. It goes, before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. I love this, right? Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We are one in community. In the many years that I spent as a church musician, the most moving part was always listening to the congregation come together and sing to the Lord. Even when there were unwritten tone clusters, it didn't matter, because the communal act of singing together has an innate beauty in how it brings us together. And in the end, that is what this lesson in Ephesians is about. When we pay really close attention to how we live, we can better live in community with each other and in Christ. Getting drunk is not going to send anyone to hell for eternity, even being drunk all the time. Neither will using time unwisely or choosing not to sing to the Lord. But what taking these readings to heart will do is give us a higher quality of life now. We will be able to foster deeper and stronger relationships. We will have healthier communities. We will be given the strength and insight to do the ministry that God is asking us to do. And we will have a connection to the Trinity that helps us remember that there is something much greater than us. We will be reminded that it's not all just about me. Sadly, many churches for hundreds and hundreds of years have used passages like this one in Ephesians to determine who is in and who is out, who will go to heaven, who will not. But my experience of God's grace is that it is not so simple. We are all going to do things that God would call foolish. And as Paul writes in Romans, we are all going to sin and fall short of the glory of God. We are not required to live without making errors or without sinning. That is impossible. But we are asked to pay attention to our lives. And when we fall, to get up, dust ourselves off, and remember that God is still there and still loving us totally and completely. This is something that we are reminded of in today's gospel lesson as well. So something to keep in mind in this lesson is when John talks about eternal life starts now, not at some random time in the future or at our death. For Jesus says, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life. Not will have, but have. And this is consistent with the Greek. It is not an interpretation by the translators. This comment is in addition to Jesus' statement that we will be raised up on the last day. Further, this discourse in John's gospel comes in the middle of Jesus' ministry. Jesus is not saying this just before his death, and contrary to what some have believed and taught, he's not instituting the Lord's Supper in this passage. In fact, the last meal Jesus shared with his disciples before he was arrested, the one that we call the Last Supper, isn't even described by John in his gospel. That said, there are certainly allusions to Holy Communion and how it is a way to connect to Jesus, and we should not ignore that. But the way this passage is written suggests that there is more. There is also connection through prayer, through reading scripture, through faith, and by paying attention to what God is calling us to do. When we do these things, we are partaking of eternal life now. John also talks about having abundant life. And again, we are reminded that we must pay really close attention to how we live. Having abundant life calls us to be in community with Christ and with the people of God at this moment. We shouldn't be only looking back and remembering the life of Jesus, but acknowledging his presence here and now, in this place and time, and how his life 2,000 years ago speaks to how we should live today. God's grace is abundantly here, right now. It has always been with us and always will be with us, but it is so easy to get distracted and miss it. In a few weeks, I will officially become your next pastoral leader. In that role, I feel that God is calling me to support the strong community that is already here, to work together to help it grow in ministry. I feel called to encourage everyone to keep hearts and minds open to how God wants to use this little congregation on the corner of Catherine and Mill in the midst of the city of Poughkeepsie to make this world a little better right now, locally and globally. So today, I invite you to pay really close attention to how you live. Pay close attention to the Holy Spirit speaking to your soul. Pay close attention to God as a parent speaking to your heart. Pay close attention to Jesus as a brother speaking to your hands. See how all of this comes together to envelop us in community. Community in this congregation, relationships with friends and family, involvement in local society, and as instruments of God's creating and loving work in this global world. Pay really close attention to how you live and be blessed by the love of God that enters through that attention. Amen.